You know, Mark asked me, he says, now, do you want me to introduce you? And I said, well, let me see. I said, raise your hands if you know who I am. Raise your hands if you wish you didn't. That's exactly what I thought. Well, you know, he told me, too, that we had a hard time finding anybody to speak today. That's the main reason I'm here. And he said to me, he says, you're going to have to come up with, you got to speak for about 45 minutes. And I said, Pastor Paul, I don't think I could talk that long. Wouldn't you agree? You know, I was taught at a young age, growing up, whenever I had a captive audience, to take full advantage of it. So if somebody could please make sure the doors are locked, we can get this started. Okay, I don't have this memorized, so you're gonna have to bear with me. What I want to share with you today, on a more serious note, okay, all joking around, is my heart's been, it's been on my heart for the past several months, and that is discontentment. We'll discuss some of the causes of discontentment and what we as a body of believers can do to address this problem. The scripture that I want to share with you today is out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul writes this, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned to whatever state I am to be content." What does it mean to be content? Webster's dictionary defines content as satisfied or pleased. Now, Paul had to teach himself to be content. Otherwise, he would have become discontented. Discontentment often leads to discouragement, which can then lead to being depressed about our circumstances. You might be asking yourself right now, what does this have to do with me, or how does this affect the church? The reason why so many of us are discontent most of the time, and even more are discontent some of the time, is that we seek life satisfaction from the world instead of from Christ. God created us to have our needs met through Christ alone. But what do? We seek fulfillment, joy, contentment, peace, self-esteem, and security apart from God. This is a form of rebellion and the root of all ungodly behavior, trusting in ourselves instead of Christ. That is why in Romans 14:23, Paul writes this, "Whatever is not from faith is sin." Why does this happen? I believe that we get caught up in ourselves, and you know, it's so easy to do. We seek life from the world instead of from Christ. When we do this, we grieve God's heart. This will cause us to feel apart from God, and we become discontent. I will be the first to admit my guilt in this area. I have struggled with this issue for some time, and I believe many of you have too. Am I right? Many of you know that I was recently employed at a local machine shop. It's really funny. You know, thinking that this would solve all my problems. You know, I had a lot of time to reflect while standing at that machine I was operating. One of the many questions I asked was, God, Is this what you really want me to do? Well, I came to the conclusion, which many of you have voiced to me since, that my personality does not lend itself to kindly being confined 10 hours a day operating a machine. Now, should I have been content with those consequences? I tried. I really did. But the mental anguish was more than I can endure. Did I dishonor God for not gutting it out? No, I don't think so. Because He opened my eyes and cleared my head during that time of reflection. I realized that God gave me a gift and that I need to share that gift. I was really discouraged, in fact, if not depressed, about my life. I know many of you thinking, why in the world would you ever be depressed, Clark? Well, I think the biggest reason was that it's a combination of things, but the biggest reason was that I was focused on myself and not Christ. I had a pity party, and I'm here to apologize that I didn't invite any of you to it. But that's what happens when we focus on ourselves. We are deceived into thinking that in order to be content, we need something other than Him. Things such as prestige and pleasure, comfort, maybe enough assets to retire, a bigger house, better health, a new and better job. The list goes on and on. Now, these things aren't bad. In fact, they are good things. But God wants us to learn to be content through Him and our relationship with Him through Christ. If we have nagging desires, even desires that seem right and good, but keep us free from rejoicing right now, then we are not resting in the Lord. Consider this. Day by day, minute by minute, many of you have no more joy and contentment than unbelievers because you seek it from the same source, your circumstances. If you seek life from the world instead of from Christ, you will rejoice only when things are going well, have peace only when your immediate struggles are gone, and give thanks only when God provides the things that you think you need. It's no wonder why unbelievers are confused by us. We come across as peaceful and joyful and knowing Christ, but they see us as restless, frustrated, and discontent. They hear us grumble and complain, and they see us chase after the things of this world with the same determination as they do. So what are the answers, and what should we do? First, we must realize and stand firm in your belief that it's God's will for us to be content and filled with His joy. John 15:11, if you want to turn there, we've got a little time here. Because, 45 minutes, you just will be doing something. John 15:11, he states this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Then John 16:33 reads this, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world." Hebrews 13:5, "Make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have." Now, do you think God would have commanded us to do these things if it was impossible to do? We must believe then that God will enable us to live in His will by the power of Christ in us. Jesus not only provides the joy and contentment, He gives us the power to experience it. In Philippians passage, there was no mention of human effort to attain contentment and joy. It's easier to believe that joy comes from knowing Jesus than it is to believe in true contentment, that is, moment by moment. In the daily grind, we are unconsciously deceived in believing that we cannot have joy, peace, or inner rest until the bills are paid, a relationship is fixed, a project is finished, or our direction is settled. We must be aware of the devil. He is so crafty. He won't get you to try to renounce your faith in Christ because he knows you won't do that. Satan only wants to imprison you for that very moment, to lure you into worry, fear, or want. He works minute by minute. Tomorrow doesn't cross his mind when he has you right now, in the moment. Satan knows that you wouldn't ever agree that joy comes from money. Never in a million years. But what he does do is get you to worry, want, or fear over your financial difficulties of today. What we do instead of basking in the peace and rest we have in Christ, we end up trying to generate peace by removing the current pressures. This is never ending. It's a futile effort in finding peace and joy through better circumstances. It keeps us from the real joy in Christ, and it keeps our eyes on ourselves. As long as you are consumed with your own life and circumstances, you are unavailable to God and unable to step into the life He has for you. Jesus has made it clear that the inner peace He gives is not the same peace that comes from good or perfect circumstances in the world. The primary reason why they are different is that the world's peace is dependent upon the elimination of problems and difficulties, but the peace given by Jesus endures the difficulties and stays constant in the midst of adverse circumstances, because the peace comes from Him. We must not attempt to gain control over our lives by concerning ourselves over whether we will have joy and contentment tomorrow, next week, or even next year. We must trust that God for the moment. Choose to abide in Christ right now. Then take God at His word. Believe that you can have joy in His presence. Believe even when joy seems out of reach. Don't wait until you feel the joy. Just choose to believe it. Say that you believe it. Thank God for it. God will do the rest. Joy is the antidote to discontentment. Is that how you're going to amen?
Amen.
When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst," that comes out of John 6:35. He was not talking about food and water. He was addressing the emptiness inside, the want and discontentment that we have in our hearts. God wants to turn your heart right side up and fill it with inexpressible joy. He wants to fill your hearts with the joy of Christ. He wants to more than fill it to the top. In fact, He wants it to overflow so that His joy will flow from you to other people so that they can also come to know and experience the joy and love of Christ. So say yes to God. Ask God to open your eyes to see the various ways you are exchanging His glory for things on earth, resulting in discontentment. Tell God that you want to open your clenched hand and submit all your cares to Him. Start to seek life from the only true source, Jesus Christ. Okay, that ends that. All right, that was short and sweet, wasn't it? I was just going to come down here for a second. There's a couple other things that I... See, that's short, man. You're going to have a lot of time to stick around and fellowship together. There's a couple other things I wanted to say, though. And it's only my opinion, so you can take it for what it's worth. But I firmly believe that discontentment has played a major role in the families that have left this church. And it saddens me. It truly does. And am I concerned about it? Yes, I am. Because I wonder, is there something that we did to fail these families? Or is there something we could have done differently? And I don't want to be... It's kind of tough to say, but I think the real reason that we should come here is to honor and glorify God. You know, some of the reasons have varied from, you know, the type of music, praise band, you know, to the way Pastor Paul preaches. But I contend this, and I don't want to be, but I'm going to say it anyway. But, you know, do you really think if biblical content is there, do you really think God cares really what our praise songs are like? And do you think if the Word of God is preached out of the pulpit, do you think He cares how it's delivered? I don't think so. What we need to do, we need to reflect and we need to pray on how we can grow closer to the Lord. That's what this church is all about, is to honor and glorify Him. And so we need to make up our mind, and that is to search for true satisfaction in Him and only Him. Because when you are truly satisfied, those things such as being irritable, disgruntled, all those things go by the wayside. So let's pray.